back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord. Good morning, May.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. And good morning, friends. The winds are blowing outside, sharp wind. Well, how are you all this morning? Are you contented? Are you hopeful? Are you keeping the faith? It takes a great courage just to live from day to day, doesn't it? But life is wonderful after all. We have a lot of grief and sorrow, but what is, the little poem says, what is it? Let's see. Life is just a path. We walk each day with trusting feet. There are thorns among the roses, but ain't the roses sweet? That's the truth. Ain't the roses sweet? That's the way to look at it. It'll all turn out right in the long run. It usually does. The little boy was caught in some mischief, and his mother said, "How do you expect ever to get into heaven, sonny?" He said, "Oh, that's easy. I'll just keep running in and out when I get there, and in and out, and in and out, and keep a slamming the big gate till St. Peter will say, 'For heaven's sake, Bobby, come in or stay out.'" That's a good way to get in, too. Well, we are a set of ungrateful mortals, all of us. But there's a mighty kind creator and a mighty wise one who is going to deal with you and me, and I'm not afraid of him. No, I'm not afraid of him. I've made mistakes just the same as you, the same mistakes that all mortals do. Little mistakes and big mistakes, bringing us little and big heartaches, bringing us sorrow and sighs and tears, some of them shadowing all our years, turning our song to a sad refrain. Let's try to forget them and start again. I had such a fine letter this last week from a woman in Elkland, Missouri, Mrs. Delia D. Darling. Isn't that a lovely name, Delia Darling? My mother's name was Delia, and she was Delia Darling to me, too. And this little woman sent me such a splendid track that she had written about her idea of a fallout shelter. I wish I had time to read it all to you. You know, I have so little time to read much on my program. But maybe I can sometime. Anyway, one beautiful idea. Pardon me. I'm still hoarse as a goose. And anyway, one beautiful idea she had for fallout shelter was this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. She said, "I am 75 years old and have been blind for 11 years, but I am not afraid. Blessed be the Rock of Ages, for in him we hide for shelter." You know, it gave me a great lift to think that this woman who is blind and couldn't find her way even to a shelter house alone if she was going, that she has the courage to accept the great promises in the Word of God and put the rest of us timid and scared souls to shame. She said, "The Lord is our rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm." Thank you so much, Mrs. Darling, for your letter, which you wrote yourself in your blindness. I read it all right. And for your beautiful courage and your great faith, I write to you soon. I promise you a line, and God bless you and keep you. I'm sure you'll never be in need of any shelter from fallout. Some way there's something has always told me that we'll never need it. I don't believe that so long as there is left 10 men with an ounce of brains on the face of this earth, 10 men, that they'll ever bring this cataclysm of slaughter upon the world. They're afraid. Too many men fear death because they have no hope of the future or any belief in it. They will not make the leap into certain destruction, which will wipe out our entire world. No, sir, they won't do it. Unless it's done by some silly mistake, and I don't believe it'll be done then. Well, I've had my fill of winter, and I hope it doesn't hit us again. I've not been at all well this week. I can't seem to get over the sick spell of flu I had in the hospital, or the hoarseness, and I had fever, you know, running to 103 all the time, and I should have stayed in that hospital at least about five or more days, five or six. My doctor wanted me to. We never make anything by coming home too soon from the hospital. But you know, there's a terrible condition in this America of ours. This horrible hospital expense. It's out of all reason and sense, and yet there's no way for us to fix it. When a fellow goes to the hospital nowadays, all he thinks of is getting home and stopping that $18 to $25 a day or more for a chicken coop-sized room, and he thinks he can go home and lie on his own good bed. But it is never the thing to do to hurry home. Life sets in again, and you're weakened and not able to stand it, and you get a setback. I'm just sort of crawling out from under aches and pains now, and I seem to stay hoarse, and I've got to speak at Evangel College Monday morning, and I don't know what I'm going to sound like. But I'll be all right. Please forgive me for not answering your mail and all the lovely valentines I got, which thrilled and warmed my heart clear down to my toes. I just have not been able to sit and type or even to write sitting at the table. I tire in just a few minutes. The little boy says I'm tired. I'll get around to you soon, and I do thank you so much for your letters and cards and your love above all. It means so much. I pray that spring will set in right away. One time, Glenna King, this Rogers, Arkansas poet, she wrote to me this cute one. She said, "Some say they like the winter's cold, and I think that tale's a hummer. Well, they can have their ice and snow, but I'll take good old summer. I guess the farmers need the snow and moisture for their grain, but I'm just a farmerette, and I raise only... But I'm just a farmerette, and I only raise old cane." That's what I raise, too, old cane. Well, good for you, Glenna. I'm with you 100%. You know, that 100%, that reminds me. I have to tell you something. There was an old man down home in the hills, and he used to always say, "I want my coffee 100%. I don't think anybody ever knew what he meant to this day, and I don't think he did either. I've never figured that out yet, and that's over 40 years ago. But he always said he wanted his coffee 100%. 100% what? Water or what? Mrs. Elton Roby of Springfield Rural Route sent me a cute little thing she clipped from a paper a few years ago, and it... This one is a recipe for a boy. You know, I've had different recipes for a girl and so on, and for a husband. It says, "Take one small boy, slightly tender, stir from his bed at early dawn, soak in a tub or a shower twice daily, sweeten occasionally with lollipops, dress in straw hat and blue jeans, do not add shoes. Next, add one black puppy sprinkled with fleas and mix well. Take one cane pole and add one can of fat worms blended with one hook, one sinker, and one cork. Stir and mix. Then fold in a liberal portion of sunshine and mild breeze. Bake in the hot sun all afternoon. Place on a leafy bed of grass and garnish well with chiggers." This recipe is enough for one father, one mother, and one big sister. Thank you, Ms. Roby. I shall keep that recipe for a boy among my recipes. Well, you remember I told you I had a nice letter from Ralph Gravely, who's news editor of the Bolivar Free Press. His father, as many of you Ozarkians know and will remember, was editor of the Bolivar Free Press for many years. I spoke of Ralph last Saturday, and I called him Ralph Snavely. I had back in my mind, I guess, the Ralph Snavely you remember almost 40 years ago, who was the first man, I guess, who ever flew an airplane over Springfield. You Springfieldians of 40 years ago will remember how thrilled we were when we heard his plane buzzing up overhead. I never knew what became of Snavely. I just wonder. Well, now, wait a minute.
I mixed up here somewhere. Well, now, you know, I have a script, whether you know it or not. Oh, yes. I always thought the name of the far-famed Bolivar editor was Gravely, but Ralph writes me that it's pronounced Gravelly. He is discussing with me the fact that older Ozarkans always claim February the 14th as Groundhog Day. That was a fact. Also, the Tennesseans in the Appalachian country took February the 14th. That's where we got it, here in the Ozarks, from the south. When I was a kid, you never heard of anybody that depended on February the 2nd. And men used to get mad in arguing about it and stick for their belief as if it was a world-shaking matter. In fact, February the 2nd is the date most generally accepted all over the East and in California and the West. Unless, of course, you happen to be an Ozarkian living there. February 2nd is the day given in all the encyclopedias and in the World Book of Knowledge. And Ralph sent me an account from the National Geographical Society, which his paper copied this month. It's really the old Candlemas Day, a religious day which comes 40 days after Christmas. That's February 2nd. I haven't heard any report that yet this year what happened either on the 2nd or the 14th, whether he saw his shadow or not and went back in his hole for 6 weeks more bad weather. And really, Ralph, I've never heard any reason given why the Ozark old-timers used February the 14th and got the groundhog mixed up with the lovers on Valentine Day. But you just ask any old-time Ozarker and see what he says. He'll say February the 14th. I know the old Ozarkers said February the 2nd was too soon and that winter couldn't be over in 6 weeks from then. This article Ralph sends me has some interesting things about the groundhog. Of course, you know they call him a woodchuck in Boston. Oh, yes, and in the East. I spoke of the groundhog superstition when I was in New York, and a woman said, "What is a groundhog, Miss McCord? What kind of a hog is that?" And I told her. And she said, "Oh, you mean a woodchuck." I said, "No, I mean a groundhog." I'll have to tell you sometime all about their crazy dialect I heard there and what dumbbells they really were. Saying rusher for Russian, idea for idea. Well, Mr. Groundhog, as you know, does not store food for the winter. He gorges all summer, and one groundhog can eat 1 ton of hay in a season, it says. He can eat 1 bean patch at a sitting. He balloons up 4 times his normal size with fat, and then he doesn't eat a bite while hibernating in his hole from mid-autumn till March. Not 1 bite he lives on that body fat. He can dig holes that will cause cattle to stumble, and he can pile up a burrow that'll wreck farm machinery. He's a marmot. While he's sleeping all the winter, it takes a very sensitive instrument to tell whether he's dead or alive. Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, claims to be the official residence of the groundhog, but Prairie, Wisconsin, claims the same and celebrates February the 2nd with a big groundhog banquet and a dance called the Groundhog Hop. Well, my time's up, and I'll be seeing you next Saturday. If all the aches and the pains quit and the Lord's willing and I can catch my pony and the devil ain't doing the fiddling. Goodbye.